87. There is a correspondence of all things of heaven with all things of man. What correspondence is not known at the present day, for several reasons, the chief of which is that man has withdrawn himself from heaven by the love of self and love of the world. For he that loves self and the world above all things gives heed only to worldly things, since these appeal to the external senses and gratify the natural longings, and he does not give heed to spiritual things, since these appeal to the internal senses and gratify the mind, therefore he casts them aside, saying that they are too high for his comprehension. This was not so with the ancient people. To them the knowledge of correspondences was the chief of knowledges. By means of it they acquired intelligence and wisdom, and by means of it those who were of the church had communication with heaven. For the knowledge of correspondences is angelic knowledge. The most ancient people, who were celestial men, thought from correspondence itself, as the angels do. And therefore they talked with angels, and the Lord frequently appeared to them, and they were taught by him. But at this day that knowledge has been so completely lost that no one knows what correspondence is. How far the knowledge of correspondences excels other knowledges. The knowledge of correspondences was the chief knowledge of the ancient people. But at the present day it is wholly forgotten. The knowledge of correspondences flourished among the eastern nations and in Egypt. 88. Since, then, without a perception of what correspondence is, there can be no clear knowledge of the spiritual world or of its inflow into the natural world, neither of what the spiritual is in its relation to the natural, nor any clear knowledge of the spirit of man, which is called the soul, and its operation into the body, neither of man's state after death, it is necessary to explain what correspondence is and the nature of it. This will prepare the way for what is to follow. 89. First, what correspondence is. The whole natural world corresponds to the spiritual world, and not merely the natural world in general, but also every particular of it. And as a consequence, everything in the natural world that springs from the spiritual world is called a correspondent. It must be understood that the natural world springs from and has permanent existence from the spiritual world, precisely like an effect from its affecting cause. All that is spread out under the sun and that receives heat and light from the sun is what is called the natural world, and all things that derive their subsistence therefrom belong to that world. But the spiritual world is heaven, and all things in the heavens belong to that world. 90. Since man is both a heaven and a world in least form after the image of the greatest, there is in him both a spiritual and a natural world. The interior things that belong to his mind, and that have relation to understanding and will, constitute his spiritual world, while the exterior things that belong to his body, and that have relation to its senses and activities, constitute his natural world. Consequently, everything in his natural world that has its existence from his spiritual world is called a correspondent. 91. From the human face it can be seen what correspondence is. In a face that has not been taught to dissemble, all the affections of the mind present themselves to view in a natural form, as in their type. This is why the face is called the index of the mind. That is, it is man's spiritual world presented in his natural world. So, too, what pertains to the understanding is presented in speech, and what pertains to the will is presented in the movements of the body. So whatever effects are produced in the body, whether in the face, in speech, or in bodily movements, are called correspondences. 92. All this shows also what the internal man is and what the external, namely, that the internal is what is called the spiritual man, and the external what is called the natural man. Also that the one is distinct from the other as heaven is from the world. Also that all things that take place and come forth in the external or natural man take place and come forth from the internal or spiritual man. 93. This much has been said about the correspondence of man's internal or spiritual with his external or natural. Now the correspondence of the whole heaven with everything pertaining to man shall be treated of. 94. It has been shown that the entire heaven reflects a single man, and that it is an image of man and is therefore called the greatest man. It has also been shown that the angelic societies, of which heaven consists, are therefore arranged as the members, organs, and viscera are in man. That is, some are in the head, some in the breast, some in the arms, and some in each of their particulars. Consequently, the societies in any member there correspond to the like member in man, those in the head corresponding to the head in man, those in the breast to the breast in man, those in the arms to the arms in man, and so with all the rest. It is from this correspondence that man has permanent existence, for from heaven alone does man have permanent existence. 95. That heaven is divided into two kingdoms, one called the celestial kingdom and the other the spiritual kingdom, may be seen above in its own chapter. The celestial kingdom corresponds in general to the heart and all things of the heart in the whole body, and the spiritual kingdom to the lungs and to all things of the lungs and the whole body. Likewise in man heart and lungs form two kingdoms, the heart ruling there through the arteries and veins, and the lungs through the tendinous and motor fibers, both together in every exertion and movement. So in every man, in his spiritual world, which is called his spiritual man, there are two kingdoms, one of the will and the other of the understanding, the will ruling through affections for good, and the understanding through affections for truth. And these kingdoms correspond to the kingdoms of the heart and of the lungs and the body. It is the same in the heavens. The celestial kingdom is the voluntary part of heaven, and in it good of love reigns. The spiritual kingdom is the intellectual part of heaven, and in it truth reigns. These are what correspond to the functions of the heart and lungs in man. It is on account of this correspondence that in the word the heart signifies the will and also good of love, and the breath of the lungs signifies the understanding and the truth of faith. For the same reason affections are ascribed to the heart, although they are neither in it nor from it. The correspondence of the heart and lungs with the greatest man, which is heaven, from experience. The heart corresponds to those in the celestial kingdom, and the lungs to those in the spiritual kingdom. There is in heaven a pulse like that of the heart, and a respiration like that of the lungs, but interior. There the pulse of the heart varies in conformity to states of love, and the respiration in conformity to states of charity and faith. In the word the heart means the will, and from the heart means from the will. In the word the heart also signifies love, and from the heart means from love. 96. The correspondence of the two kingdoms of heaven with the heart and lungs is the general correspondence of heaven with man. There is a less general correspondence with each one of his members, organs, and viscera, and what this is shall also be explained. In the greatest man, which is heaven, those that are in the head excel all others in every good, being in love, peace, innocence, wisdom, intelligence, and consequent joy and happiness. These flow into the head of man and the things belonging to the head and corresponding thereto. In the greatest man, or heaven, those that are in the breast are in the good of charity and of faith, and these flow into the breast of man and correspond to it. In the greatest man, or heaven, those that are in the loins and the organs devoted to generation are in marriage love. Those in the feet are in the lowest good of heaven, which is called spiritual natural good. Those in the arms and hands are in the power of truth from good. Those that are in the eyes are in understanding. Those in the ears are in attention and obedience. Those in the nostrils are in perception. Those in the mouth and tongue are in the ability to converse from understanding and perception. Those in the kidneys are in truth searching, separating, and correcting. Those in the liver, pancreas, and spleen are in various purifications of good and truth, and so with the rest. All these flow into the like things of man and correspond to them. This inflow of heaven is into the functions and uses of the bodily members. And the uses, since they are from the spiritual world, take on a form by means of such things as are in the natural world, and thus present themselves in effect. From this is the correspondence. 97. For the same reason these same members, organs, and viscera have a like significance in the word. For everything there has a meaning in accordance with correspondence. Thus the head signifies intelligence and wisdom, the breast charity, the loins marriage love, the arms and hands power of truth, the feet what is natural, the eyes understanding, the nostrils perception, the ears obedience, the kidneys the scrutiny of truth, and so on. So, too, in the common speech of man it is said of one who is intelligent and wise that he has a good head, of one who is charitable that he is a bosom friend, of one who has clear perception that he is keen-scented, of one who is intelligent that he is sharp-sighted, of one who is powerful that he is long-handed, of one who exercises his will from love that it is done from the heart. These and many other expressions in the speech of men are from correspondence, for they are from the spiritual world, although man is ignorant of it. In the word the breast signifies charity, the loins and organs of generation signify marriage love, the arms and hands signify the power of truth, the feet signify the natural, the eye signifies understanding, the nostrils signify perception, the ears signify obedience, the kidneys signify the scrutiny and correction of truth. 98. That there is such a correspondence of all things of heaven with all things of man has been made clear to me by much experience, by so much that I am as convinced of it as of any evident fact that admits of no doubt. But it is not necessary to describe all this experience here, nor would it be permissible on account of its abundance. It may be seen set forth in the Arcana Coelestia, where correspondences, representations, the influx of the spiritual world into the natural world, and the interaction between soul and body are treated of. The correspondence of all the members of the body with the greatest man, or heaven, in general and in particular, from experience. The influx of the spiritual world into the natural world or of heaven into the world, and the influx of the soul into all things of the body, from experience. The interaction between soul and body, from experience. 99. But notwithstanding that all things of man's body correspond to all things of heaven, it is not in respect to his external form that man is an image of heaven, but in respect to his internal form, for man's interiors are what receive heaven, while his exteriors receive the world. So far, therefore, as his interiors receive heaven, man is in respect to them a heaven in least form, after the image of the greatest. But so far as his interiors do not receive heaven, he is not a heaven and an image of the greatest, although his exteriors, which receive the world, may be in a form in accordance with the order of the world, and thus variously beautiful. For the source of outward beauty which pertains to the body is in parents and formation in the womb, and it is preserved afterwards by general influx from the world. For this reason the form of one's natural man differs greatly from the form of his spiritual man. What the form of a man's spirit is I have been shown occasionally, and in some who were beautiful and charming in appearance the spirit was seen to be so deformed, black and monstrous that it might be called an image of hell, not of heaven, while in others not beautiful there was a spirit beautifully formed, pure, and angelic. Moreover, the spirit of man appears after death such as it has been in the body while it lived therein in the world. 100. But correspondence applies far more widely than to man, for there is a correspondence of the heavens with one another. To the third or inmost heaven the second or middle heaven corresponds, and to the second or middle heaven the first or outmost heaven corresponds, and this corresponds to the bodily forms in man called his members, organs, and viscera. Thus it is the bodily part of man in which heaven finally terminates, and upon which it stands as upon its base. But this arcanum will be more fully unfolded elsewhere. 101. Especially it must be understood that all correspondence with heaven is with the Lord's divine human, because heaven is from him, and he is heaven, as has been shown in previous chapters. For if the divine human did not flow into all things of heaven, and in accordance with correspondences into all things of the world, no angel or man could exist. From this again it is evident why the Lord became man and clothed his divine from first to last with a human. It was because the divine human, from which heaven existed before the Lord's coming, was no longer sufficient to sustain all things, for the reason that man, who is the foundation of the heavens, had subverted and destroyed order. What the divine human was before the Lord's coming, and what the condition of heaven was at that time may be seen in the extracts appended to the preceding chapter. 102. Angels are amazed when they hear that there are men who attribute all things to nature and nothing to the divine, and who also believe that their body, into which so many wonders of heaven are gathered, is a product of nature. Still more are they amazed that the rational part of man is believed to be from nature, when, if men will but lift their minds a little, they can see that such effects are not from nature but from the divine, and that nature has been created simply for clothing the spiritual and for presenting it in a correspondent form in the outmost of order. Such men they liken to owls, which see in darkness, but in light see nothing. 103. There is a correspondence of heaven with all things of the earth. What correspondence is has been told in the preceding chapter, and it has there been shown that each thing and all things of the animal body are correspondences. The next step is to show that all things of the earth, and in general all things of the universe, are correspondences. 104. All things of the earth are distinguished into three kinds, called kingdoms, namely, the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the mineral kingdom. The things of the animal kingdom are correspondences in the first degree, because they live. The things of the vegetable kingdom are correspondences in the second degree, because they merely grow. The things of the mineral kingdom are correspondences in the third degree, because they neither live nor grow. Correspondences in the animal kingdom are living creatures of various kinds. Both those that walk and creep on the ground and those that fly in the air, these need not be specially named, as they are well known. Correspondences in the vegetable kingdom are all things that grow and abound in gardens, forests, fields, and meadows. These, too, need not be named, because they are well known. Correspondences in the mineral kingdom are metals more and less noble, stones precious and not precious, earths of various kinds, and also the waters. Besides these, the things prepared from them by human activity for use are correspondences, as foods of every kind, clothing, dwellings and other buildings, with many other things. 105. Also the things above the earth, as the sun, moon, and stars, and those in the atmosphere, as clouds, mist, rain, lightning and thunder, are likewise correspondences. Things resulting from the presence and absence of the sun, as light and shade, heat and cold, are also correspondences, as well as those that follow in succession therefrom. As the seasons of the year, spring, summer, autumn, and winter, and the times of day, morning, noon, evening, and night. 106. In a word, all things that have existence in nature, from the least to the greatest thereof, are correspondences. They are correspondences because the natural world with all things in it springs forth and subsists from the spiritual world, and both worlds from the divine. They are said to subsist also, because everything subsists from that from which it springs forth, subsistence being a permanent springing forth. Also because nothing can subsist from itself, but only from that which is prior to itself, thus from a first, and if separated from that it would utterly perish and vanish. All things that are in the world and its three kingdoms correspond to the heavenly things that are in heaven. That is, the things in the natural world correspond to the things in the spiritual world. By correspondences, the natural world is conjoined to the spiritual world. For this reason, all nature is a theater representative of the Lord's kingdom. 107. Everything in nature that springs forth and subsists in accordance with divine order is a correspondence. Divine order is caused by the divine good that flows forth from the Lord. It begins in Him, goes forth from Him through the heavens in succession into the world, and is terminated there in outmosts, and everything there that is in accordance with order is a correspondence. Everything there is in accordance with order that is good and perfect for use, because everything good is good in the measure of its use, while its form has relation to truth, truth being the form of good. And for this reason everything in the whole world and of the nature thereof that is in divine order has reference to good and truth. Everything in the universe, both in heaven and in the world, that is in accordance with order, has reference to good and truth, and to the conjunction of these, in order to be anything. 108. That all things in the world spring from the divine, and are clothed with such things in nature as enable them to exist there and perform use, and thus to correspond, is clearly evident from the various things seen in both the animal and vegetable kingdoms. In both there are things that anyone who thinks interiorly can see to be from heaven. For illustration, a few things out of a countless number may be mentioned. And first some things from the animal kingdom. Many are aware what knowledge there is engrafted as it were in every animal. Bees know how to gather honey from flowers, to build cells out of wax in which to store their honey, and thus provide food for themselves and their families, even for a coming winter. That a new generation may be born, their queen lays eggs, and the rest take care of them and cover them. They live under a sort of government which all know by instinct. They preserve the working bees and cast out the drones, depriving them of their wings, besides other wonderful things implanted in them from heaven for the sake of their use. Their wax everywhere serving the human race for candles, their honey for adding sweetness to food. Again, what wonders do we see in worms, the meanest creatures in the animal kingdom? They know how to get food from the juice of the leaves suited to them, and afterward at the appointed time to invest themselves with a covering and enter as it were into a womb, and thus hatch offspring of their own kind. Some are first turned into nymphs and chrysalides, spinning threads about themselves, and this travail being over, they come forth clad with a different body, furnished with wings with which they fly in the air as in their heaven, and celebrate marriages and lay eggs and provide posterity for themselves. Besides these special instances, all creatures in general that fly in the air know the proper food for their nourishment. Not only what it is but where to find it, they know how to build nests for themselves. One kind in one way and another kind in another way, how to lay their eggs in the nests, how to sit upon them, how to hatch their young and feed them, and to turn them out of their home when they are able to shift for themselves. They know, too, their enemies that they must avoid and their friends with whom they may associate, and this from early infancy, not to mention the wonders in the eggs themselves, in which all things lie ready in their order for the formation and nourishment of the chicks, besides numberless other things. Who that thinks from any wisdom of reason will ever say that these instincts are from any other source than the spiritual world, which the natural serves in clothing what is from it with a body, or in presenting in effect what is spiritual in the cause? The beasts of the earth and the birds of the air are born into all this knowledge, while man, who is far superior to them, is not, for the reason that animals are in the order of their life, and have not been able to destroy what is in them from the spiritual world, because they have no rational faculty. Man, on the other hand, whose thought is from the spiritual world, having perverted what is in him from that world by a life contrary to order, which his rational faculty has favored, must needs be born into mere ignorance and afterwards be led back by divine means into the order of heaven. 109. How the things in the vegetable kingdom correspond can be seen from many instances. As that little seeds grow into trees, put forth leaves, produce flowers, and then fruit, in which again they deposit seed. These things taking place in succession and existing together in an order so wonderful as to be indescribable in a few words. Volumes might be filled, and yet there would be still deeper arcana, relating more closely to their uses, which science would be unable to exhaust. Since these things, too, are from the spiritual world, that is, from heaven, which is in the human form, so all the particulars in this kingdom have a certain relation to such things as are in man, as some in the learned world know. That all things in this kingdom also are correspondences has been made clear to me by much experience. Often when I have been in gardens and have been looking at the trees, fruits, flowers, and plants there, I have recognized their correspondences in heaven, and have spoken with those with whom these were, and have been taught whence and what they were. 110. But at the present day no one can know the spiritual things in heaven to which the natural things in the world correspond except from heaven, since the knowledge of correspondences is now wholly lost. But the nature of the correspondence of spiritual things with natural I shall be glad to illustrate by some examples. The animals of the earth correspond in general to affection. Mild and useful animals to good affections, fierce and useless ones to evil affections. In particular, cattle and their young correspond to the affections of the natural mind. Sheep and lambs to the affections of the spiritual mind. While birds correspond, according to their species, to the intellectual things of the natural, or the spiritual mind. For this reason various animals, as cattle and their young, rams, sheep, he goats and she goats, he lambs and she lambs, also pigeons and turtle doves, were devoted to a sacred use in the Israelitish church, which was a representative church, and sacrifices and burnt offerings were made of them. For they correspond in that use to spiritual things, and in heaven these were understood in accordance with the correspondences. Moreover, animals according to their kinds and species, because they have life, are affections, and the life of each one is solely from affection and in accordance with affection. Consequently, every animal has an innate knowledge that is in accord with its life's affection. Man is like an animal so far as his natural man is concerned, and is therefore likened to animals in common speech. For example, if he is gentle, he is called a sheep or lamb, if fierce, a bear or wolf, if cunning, a fox or serpent, and so on. From correspondence, animals signify affections, mild and useful animals good affections, fierce and useless ones evil affections, illustrated by experience from the spiritual world. Influx of the spiritual world into the lives of animals in 1633, 3646. Cattle and their young from correspondence signify affections of the natural mind. What sheep signify, and lambs, flying creatures signify intellectual things, with a difference according to their genera and species, from experience in the spiritual world. 111. There is a like correspondence with things in the vegetable kingdom. In general, a garden corresponds to the intelligence and wisdom of heaven. And for this reason heaven is called the garden of God, and paradise, and men call it the heavenly paradise. Trees, according to their species, correspond to the perceptions and knowledges of good and truth which are the source of intelligence and wisdom. For this reason the ancient people, who were acquainted with correspondences, held their sacred worship in groves, and for the same reason trees are so often mentioned in the word. And heaven, the church, and man are compared to them, as the vine, the olive, the cedar, and others, and the good works done by men are compared to fruits. Also the food derived from trees, and more especially from the grain harvests of the field, corresponds to affections for good and truth, because these affections feed the spiritual life. As the food of the earth does the natural life, and bread from grain, in a general sense, because it is the food that specially sustains life, and because it stands for all food, corresponds to an affection for all good. It is on account of this correspondence that the Lord calls himself the bread of life, and that loaves of bread had a holy use in the Israelitish church, being placed on the table in the tabernacle and called the bread of faces. Also the divine worship that was performed by sacrifices and burnt offerings was called bread. Moreover, because of this correspondence the most holy act of worship in the Christian church is the Holy Supper, in which bread is given, and wine. From these few examples the nature of correspondence can be seen. From correspondence a garden and a paradise signify intelligence and wisdom. From experience, all things that have a correspondence have in the word the same significance. Trees signify perceptions and knowledges. For this reason the ancient people held divine worship in groves under trees according to their correspondence. Influx of heaven into subjects of the vegetable kingdom, as into trees and plants. From correspondence food signify such things as nourish the spiritual life. Bread signifies every good that nourishes the spiritual life of man. Such was the signification of the loaves that were on the table in the tabernacle. Sacrifices in general were called bread. Bread includes all food. Thus it signifies all heavenly and spiritual food. 112. How conjunction of heaven with the world is effected by means of correspondences shall also be told in a few words. The Lord's kingdom is a kingdom of ends, which are uses, or what is the same thing, a kingdom of uses which are ends. For this reason the universe has been so created and formed by the divine that uses may be everywhere clothed in such a way as to be presented in act, or in effect, first in heaven and afterwards in the world, thus by degrees and successively, down to the outmost things of nature. Evidently, then, the correspondence of natural things with spiritual things, or of the world with heaven, is through uses, and uses are what conjoin, and the form in which uses are clothed are correspondences and are conjunctions just to the extent that they are forms of uses. In the nature of the world and its threefold kingdom, all things that exist in accordance with order are forms of uses, or effects formed from use for use, and this is why the things in nature are correspondences. But in the case of man, so far as he is in accordance with divine order, That is, so far as he is in love to the Lord and in charity towards the neighbor, are his acts, uses, and form, and correspondences, and through these he is conjoined to heaven. To love the Lord and the neighbor means in general to perform uses. Furthermore, it must be understood that man is the means by which the natural world and the spiritual world are conjoined. That is, man is the medium of conjunction, because in him there is a natural world and there is a spiritual world. Consequently, to the extent that man is spiritual, he is the medium of conjunction. But to the extent that a man is natural, and not spiritual, he is not a medium of conjunction. Nevertheless, apart from this mediumship of man, a divine influx into the world and into the things pertaining to man that are of the world goes on, but not into man's rational faculty. Every good has its delight as well as its quality from use and in accordance with use. Therefore, such as the use is, such is the good. Angelic life consists in the goods of love and charity, that is, in performing uses. The Lord, and consequently the angels, look only, in regard to man, to ends, which are uses. The Lord's kingdom is a kingdom of uses, that is, of ends. Serving the Lord is performing uses. Each thing and all things in man have been formed for use. See Numbers 36:26, 41:04, 51:89-92:97. Also from use, that is, the uses prior to the organic forms in man through which the use is performed, because use is from the inflowing of the Lord through heaven in 42:23, 49:26, or over man's interiors, which constitute his mind, when he grows to maturity, are formed from use and for use. Consequently, man is such as are the uses with him. Uses are the ends for the sake of which. Use is the first and the last, thus the all of man. 113. As all things that are in accord with divine order correspond to heaven, so all things contrary to divine order correspond to hell. All things that correspond to heaven have relation to good and truth, but those that correspond to hell have relation to evil and falsity. 114. Something shall now be said about the knowledge of correspondences and its use. It has been said above that the spiritual world, which is heaven, is conjoined with the natural world by means of correspondences. Therefore, by means of correspondences, communication with heaven is granted to man. For the angels of heaven do not think from natural things, as man does, but when man has acquired a knowledge of correspondences, he is able, in respect to the thoughts of his mind, to be associated with the angels, and thus in respect to his spiritual or internal man to be conjoined with them. That there might be such a conjunction of heaven with man, the word was written wholly by correspondences, each thing and all things in it being correspondent. If man, therefore, had a knowledge of correspondences, he would understand the spiritual sense of the word, and from that it would be given him to know arcana of which he sees nothing in the sense of the letter. For there is a literal sense and there is a spiritual sense in the word, the literal sense made up of such things as are in the world, and the spiritual sense of such things as are in heaven. And such a word, in which everything down to the least jot is a correspondence, was given to men because the conjunction of heaven with the world is effected by means of correspondences. The word was written wholly by correspondences. By means of the word, man has conjunction with heaven. Concerning the spiritual sense of the word, see the little work on the white horse referred to in the Apocalypse. 115. I have been taught from heaven that the most ancient men on our earth, who were celestial men, thought from correspondences themselves, the natural things of the world before their eyes, serving them as means of thinking in this way, and that they could be in fellowship with angels and talk with them because they so thought, and that thus through them heaven was conjoined to the world. For this reason that period was called the Golden Age, of which it is said by ancient writers that the inhabitants of heaven dwelt with men and associated with them as friends with friends. But after this there followed a period when men thought, not from correspondences themselves, but from a knowledge of correspondences, and there was then also a conjunction of heaven with man, but less intimate. This period was called the Silver Age. After this there followed men who had a knowledge of correspondences but did not think from that knowledge, because they were in natural good, and not, like those before them, in spiritual good. This period was called the Copper Age. After this man gradually became external, and finally corporeal, and then the knowledge of correspondences was wholly lost, and with it a knowledge of heaven and of the many things pertaining to heaven. It was from correspondence that these ages were named from gold, silver, and copper, and for the reason that from correspondence gold signifies celestial good in which were the most ancient people, silver spiritual good in which were the ancient people that followed, and copper natural good in which were the next posterity, while iron, from which the last age takes its name, signifies hard truth apart from good. Gold from correspondence signifies celestial good. Silver signifies spiritual good, that is, truth from a celestial origin. Copper signifies natural good. Iron signifies truth in the outmost of order.